Sing and be happy.
Boy, oh boy. Good introduction to this lesson tonight. If you'd open your Bibles with me, please, and turn to the book of Psalm 30. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through that psalm, and I pray that we will sing and be happy today. Psalm 30. Let's read this together to start off. A psalm to David, dedication to the house that David built. And this isn't the temple, but the house of David. He writes, "I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry out to you and you healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul up from the grave and you have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Now in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face and I was troubled. I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever." Did you notice how many times David used the word "you" in reference to his Lord? How many times he used that word "you" describing his God? That personal pronoun, it was 20 times. 20 times. And you don't have to have the ability to read between the lines. David spoke highly of God. And we know from this where David's joy is coming from. When David said, "Joy comes in the morning," it was coming from his God. It was coming from the "you" that he talks about. You know, 7 of the 20 times it refers to God, it's something that God did in David's life. You know, David speaks of his Lord in such a thankful way, such a glorious way. He makes it clear to us, the reader, and to those at that time that all the great things that God has done that resonates and necessitates that the Lord be worshipped. Those sounds would echo in the halls of time. And we see this in pretty much all of David's references as he lifts up his prayers to God, to his God, to you, O Lord. And you know, it's like David, you too. You know, we should all be able to lift up praises to God. You know, you look at verse 1, he says, "For you have lifted up." He says, "You healed me. You brought my soul up from the grave. You have kept me alive. You, or your favor, you have made my mountain stand strong. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing." And he said, "You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." Now, you see these things. David's praising God, and for a good reason. He worships the Lord for all the great things that the Lord has done for him. He says, he sings praises to the Lord. He gives thanks to the Lord. I will give thanks to you forever, David said. You have to be able to see the joy in his heart. There's a couple of places here where he references maybe being downtrodden. He always understood and he always exclaims that the Lord picks him up. The Lord takes him out of that pit. When it talks about taking him out of the pit or lifting him up, it's using a term that is actually referenced for like a well, and that bucket you drop down in the well and how you pull up that bucket and bring out the good. David's being lifted up by God in the same way. And it's reflected in what he says. He takes time to praise God and give thanksgiving. We need to praise God and give thanksgiving and take time for that. For all that the Lord has done for us. Everything that God has done from creation until now to provide a pathway to Him in heaven. To be able one day to see the face of God. To be able to rest in all the promises. All these things, they are reciprocal. In other words, you do something, He does something. He does something, you do something. Reciprocal. God will bless us. We praise and honor God. That's what David's doing. God blesses David. He praises and honors you, his God. God showers us with blessings. And what do? We praise Him all the more. Reciprocal. What an exciting and great thing that is. And when we think of these things, let's think about the great things the Lord has done based upon the words of David here. You know, the more we know God, the stronger our relationship with is with Him. David, we know, was called a man after God's own heart. What a wonderful thing it would be to be an imitator of that to the point where God looks down upon us with pleasure as His children. Looks down upon our day-to-day lives and our habits of studying His Word and our ability to express our love for Him and for Jesus Christ, His Son, for the Holy Spirit of God that guides us in all truth. Our ability to share the Word of God with the world around us. And God looks down from heaven and is pleased. And He would think of us in such a way that we would be a people after His own heart. And you know, David had in his lifetime lesser problems, but he was able to look up to a greater God. That God who was able to pull him up, lift him up out of that pit. And God's able to do that. God can prevail against any of our troubles. God is that powerful. And contrary to some modernists or modernisms about God, the Lord does have a capacity for anger. He's able to be angry. But it's only for a moment, David says. You see that he's able to be angry in verse 5, but for a moment. Just for a moment. Because His favor is for life. He wants us to have the good things. He wants us to remain faithful. He wants us to be blessed. God doesn't maul and mourn and he doesn't hang on to the anger, even when we sin against Him. Different than most of us. God's able to let go. His favor is for life. You know, the term favor there, it refers to His preference. God's preference is that we have life. And not just life. Remember what our Lord, our Savior, said. He didn't come to destroy. What did He come for? I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Think of David and all the things he's saying here and realize that he has an abundant life. He can turn and cry out to his God knowing that his God hears every single word. And he does cry out. Notice here, he says here in verse 5 that weeping, he says, weeping may endure for a night. We all have troubles. We all have struggles. And we realize that this word night here isn't, you know, it's not mandatory to look at this as just between the hours of 6 o'clock and 6 in the morning. It's not that we go to bed weeping and guaranteed in the morning we'll get up, and we won't be. But the weeping is a short time in the span of eternity. You can't be measured in the span of a person's lifetime. It's just short when you have God at the other end of your weeping. You see, because he also says, but joy comes in the morning. What a wonderful thing. We can look at those words and we can realize that that applies to us. You know, we have troubles, yes. We'll have arguments with people or disagreements, if you will. Or we have a medical issue or something's going on in the family, whatever. We can have troubles in life, but in the morning. At the end of that trial, at the end of those troubles, there'll be joy. Because of God. Because of the Lord. He only wants good, right? He doesn't want to destroy. I have come that they may have life. That they may have it more abundantly. Joy comes in the morning. And David goes on here to say that I shall never be moved. Verse 6. I shall never be moved. And the reason for that now, he says, in my prosperity, I said. Everything that God has done for him throughout his life. From the moments that he had took the sheep from the lion's mouth, the moment that he wrestled the bear, the moment that he defeated Goliath, and it goes on and on and on, even when he was being chased by Saul, he understood that his rock was Christ, God, and he won't be moved by this world and by the troubles of the world. That's why David could be in a cave and Saul could come in and David had every opportunity to destroy him. But he didn't. Because he wasn't moved by human emotion in that case. He wasn't moved by the confusion of the world. His eyes were focused upon the Lord, his God. You, O Lord, he's commanded him. And so David was allowing God to be the one that controls him, his motions, his thinking, the things that he directs him to do. And when he says, I will not be moved, that word can be translated, it's translated in the Christian Standard Bible as shaken. I will not be shaken. Say what you want about me. I will not be shaken. Say what you want about my faith. I will not be shaken. Say what you want about my children. I will not be shaken. Say what you want about the church. I will not be shaken. Why? Because you can't be shaken if you're standing upon the rock. And David, looking back at all his prosperity, all the things that the Lord has done, is building for him a mountain. He's building him something to stand upon. And all those things become that mountain that he'll stand upon here. That's what caused him to say, I shall never be moved. And he's looking at the sources for these things that he stands upon. It's not him. He's looking back at all his prosperity that came from the Lord. David, he says something that connects verse 6 and 7. He's connecting verse 6 and 7. He says, Lord, by your favor you have made. And just stop and think about that. You have made there in verse 7. You know, we're not talking about you have made the earth and all that's in the earth and the heavens and the stars and the sky and the sun, the moon and all the creatures in the oceans and the light and the dark and so on. We're not talking about that, what you have made. Lord, by your favor you have made. What did God make for David? God made David a king. God gave David victory over his enemies. God gave David strength and assurance that he would always be there, that he would be that mighty arm that wins the battle. He made David confident in his faith. And as a result, he says, "You have made my mountain stand strong." You have made my mountain. When we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, when we lean not upon our own understanding, and we just look and we realize everything that God has ever done for us, and we begin to stand on that. We never have to worry about falling off, because that foundation is in the Lord. You have made my mountain stand strong. You see, David calls it my mountain, because it is all the things that in his life have created this mountain that he stands upon. Everything that God has ever done. David, you know, standing on solid ground, Psalm 27 and 5, what does he say? "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." We want to praise God all the time. But when there's a time of trouble, we can turn to the Lord. We can turn to His Word and we can find rest for our souls. We can realize that we're standing upon the very Word of God. The Word that formed the worlds. The Word that brought salvation down. The Word that is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. In Psalm 40 at verse 2, he goes on and says, "He also brought me up out of the horrible pit." And there's that same word bringing him up. "Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps." You know, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delights in his way. And though he falls, he will not be utterly cast down, but he's upheld by the hands of God. This foundation cannot be moved. Remember what our foundation is. Our foundation built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Matthew chapter 7, when Jesus says, "Whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, and what happened to the house? It fell not. Because it was founded upon the rock, and that rock is Christ. It's the words of God." And we have those words today. We have a lot of what David had. We can open this, we can read it, we can consume it, and we can praise God, and we can look up to God, we can cry out to God, we can stand upon that foundation and not be moved. What a joy it is to think about that. Our foundation, my mountain, he says. You know, what a terror it must have been for David. When you think about him writing here in this text, when he says in the end of verse 7, "You hid your face and I was troubled." David had such a close relationship with God through his work and his actions and his prayer. all the things he remembered, and to have him feel as though God had turned his face. You know, that very thought that God is not there, that must have been terrifying. And he says, you hid your face and I was troubled. Open your Bibles with me to 1 Chronicles. Now we're going to look at 1 Chronicles here, chapter 21. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. Beginning at the verse 7. What we read here is, and God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he struck Israel. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant. For I have done very foolishly. And then the Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself that I may do it to you. So Gad came to David and he said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself. Either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. And now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hands of man. You see, David was distressed over his own sin. And as a result, he felt the absence of God. And so it is with our own sins. When we sin against God, when we do things that we know displease him, it's going to feel as though he's left us. He's going to feel as though we're alone without hope. And the fact is that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. Because as David was able to do in back at the Psalm 30 here, he cried out. He cried out to the Lord. And he says, I cried out to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. He cries out to the Lord. You see, we can always repent of our sin. God's still right there. Our sins are not powerful enough to cause God to be moved. But they're powerful enough to cause us to be moved. But God's there. David knew that. And David, of course, said, I cried out to you, O Lord. And so as we go through this psalm, we realize the great things that God has done. He has put in place a plan. He put in place a way in which we can communicate with him. And when we're in trouble, we can cry out to him and he'll hear us. He hears what we have cried out for. We should remember that while we have breath, while we have strength in us, while we are on the side, this side of the grave, our lips should be used to praise the Lord as often as every moment of every day. As often as every day, as often as every week, we should lift up His name in praise for all the great things that He has done. Certainly He did great things for us today. He sent Jesus Christ into the world to be the light of the world, to be our shepherd, to guide us in the truth, and to open our eyes, to be able to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What greater things? Those are kind of things that David really would never have known. And yet he still found great power in a relationship with his God. And so his lips praise God continually. We are the ones who must declare his truth. The dust of the ground's not going to declare it. You know, even Jesus said that if these do not cry out, the very stones would cry out. But they're not going to cry out. The dust of the ground is not going to cry out. There's no profit in us losing our life, going down into the pit. Because nothing down there is going to cry out to the Lord. Nothing's going to praise God. That's our job. In Malachi chapter 3 and at verse 6, he wrote, "For I am the Lord. I do not change." He's not moving. He's not walking away from you. So whether you're having a good day or having a bad day, praise the Lord. There's reason to offer continual prayer, calling out on the name of the Lord, offering sacrifice, because God's there. God's there. Some days are great, I have to admit. And then there are some days that are just filled with trouble. Regardless of what the trouble is, health, troubles with the world around us, troubles with COVID, troubles with so many things, but it's important to know that God never changed. God never will change. When trouble starts, He's right there to help. You can cry out. And we should cry out. Never feel as though it's wrong to cry out to God. And without the Lord, we wouldn't have that blessing. We wouldn't have that great thing. You know, David knew this. Look at verse 10. What is it? David said, "Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper." Be my helper. You know, when you think of a help, what is a helper? A helper, somebody that comes alongside you. You know, you need to move this stuff over there, the helper helps you move it. You need to build something here, the helper helps you build it. You need to cook something in the kitchen, my wife just tells me to get out. You know, but a helper is a good thing. And when we think of this, David considers God and he calls upon him, his mercy, "Lord, be my help." That's not something you ask of the President of the United States. I wouldn't ask him to help me sweep the floors or clean the garage or put air in my tires. I wouldn't ask him to be my helper. He's got too many important things to do to be my helper. But you know, God is greater than the president. He's greater than all the governments of the world. He's greater than any man upon the earth. And yet, God is able to be our helper. He's right there. David makes it very clear. Lord, be my helper. I think that's exciting. Lord, be my helper. And we know that this world's full of troubles and trials. In fact, Paul wrote to the Corinthians there that no temptation is overtaking you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also, what? Make a way out, a way of escape. He'll help you. He's not going to leave you down in the pit. Just like David, he'll crank that until you come up out of that pit. He'll pull you right up out of there. You know, the word pit in those texts, by the way, is the word Sheol. And it's referring to the grave. David felt as though he was just near death. So many troubles falling down upon him that he felt as though he was just had 1.5 feet in the grave. And he cries out to God, "Be my helper. Pull me up out of this pit." And you know what happened? He made a way of escape. And he does that for us, that you may be able to bear it. David alludes to this as he closes out the psalm as we look at these great things that the Lord has done. He says, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put my sackcloth and put off my sackcloth and clothed me with goodness." You know what sackcloth is? It's a very coarse material. Black cloth. It's usually made from goat's hair. You know, it's not soft like wool, but goat's hair, bristly. And it was worn usually along with burnt offerings or ashes as a sign of mourning, as a sign of trouble. Whether it be a national disaster or an individual disaster, that's when the sackcloth was put on. It's a sign of repentance of the heart. And at times, as that sackcloth was put on, there was going to be a lot of prayer for deliverance. David says, "You turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." These promises are things that David received from God, we also can receive. You know, it's interesting that we've had a couple of brethren that have passed away, Mark Etheridge, and those who are struggling right now with the end of life. And with Mark Etheridge, I know personally, and I know his brothers, his family. And they mourn. They will. But it's interesting that they're not going to stay in a state of mourning. Because they know God like David knew God. They know God like we should know God. They know that God will take off that sackcloth of mourning, that He'll turn our mourning into dancing. And at verse 12, he goes on here and he says, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." The Lord can turn our sorrows into joy. He can cause us to dance instead of mourn, spiritually speaking. But when he says, "To the end my glory," he's referring to his tongue. It's the same thing as saying, "To the end, my tongue, my soul." There's a theologian, DeWitt, that says, "My heart." There. It'll sing praise to you. And I would ask you right now, you know, does your heart feel as though it wants to sing praise to God? Can you look back at your own life? Go, you know, take time and look back and at all the things that God has done. Try to remember those great things that He's done throughout your life. Hindsight is a great thing to build up forward sight. And so we think back about God. We think back, what has He done for me? Apart just from, you know, showing me the light, showing me the way of salvation, opening that door for me. What has He done? How has He blessed me? Why do I have a roof over my head, clothes on my back, and food on my table? Why do I have a job? Why do I have more opportunities than most people in the outside of this country, out in the outskirts of the world? Why? Why is it I have two cars instead of a bicycle? All these things. Why do I have a good marriage? Why do I have faithful children? Why do I find joy in worship? Why do I just think back? That's your mountain. That's why your glory, your mouth, your heart, your tongue, your soul sings praises to God. David wasn't special in that respect, because every Christian today can do the same. The Aramaic phrase that this was written in, it says that honorable of the world may praise thee. The honorable of the world. God's children. David. God's children. Paul. God's children. You. You see, we can praise Him because we're honored by Him. But I want to bring that, all those things down to just one last point. And that isn't the great things that He's done, but the greatest thing the Lord has ever done. And He's done it for every believer. And if you're not a believer, He's done it for every unbeliever. And to this very day, the greatest reason that the morning brings joy, the greatest reason the morning brings joy is one special morning. One special morning. And that's the morning when we look back and we can see He's risen. Go ahead and look. He's not there. The greatest thing that God has ever done was to come down from the glories of heaven to walk among us, to be a God for us, to be a Savior for us, to bring the light of life into the world. The greatest thing that He's ever done is to bring just truth. Just the truth. So that even the most blind eye can see the light. You think about this great thing. He endured the cross. His blood was shed. He was placed into a tomb. The stone was rolled across the opening. And He was in that tomb 3 days. And the greatest thing that He ever did was just for you. Nope. Not just for you. For everyone. Every one of us. That tomb couldn't hold Him. And that stone rolled away. And Jesus rose up from the grave. Eventually ascended up into heaven. And that by His blood you may be healed. I would ask today that you take advantage of the greatest thing that He's ever done. Take advantage of the blood. So that you can rejoice in the morning. So that you can be like David. And live a life praising and glorifying God. If you have a need, I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.